Welcome to Frail Miss Nice Guy. I am your host, MNG. And today, I got my homeboy, Jeff No Chaser, in the building ready to talk that shit. Jeff, tell him what it is.
What's good?
So we got a great topic today, and I'm pretty sure it's one of the hot topics that is on everybody's mind. And since we're going to kind of close out 2023 and we're going to roll into 2024, I think it's best to go ahead and talk about it, especially with the year that is coming to an end and the year that is beginning now, where we're at now, and we're going into a new school year, we're going to a new season. Everybody is, you know, feeling brand new. But let's go ahead and talk about, can we change a generation and these school shootings that's on the rise? Now, one of the things I want to say is that when I was in high school, I didn't see school shootings. Now, did I see a motherfucker get cut up? Hell the fuck yeah. Did I see a motherfucker get stumped out? Hell the fuck yeah. Did I see freshman motherfucking Fridays? Mm-hmm. Niggas running to the bus stop. Hell the fuck yeah. But not a day have I seen motherfuckers scared to go to school because they got guns ready to aim, shoot, fire at the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. So this is a topic, you know, us as black fathers want to talk about. Now, this is not happening. Now, let me address this. Now, this is the biggest elephant in the room. This is not happening in black neighborhoods.
I know it.
Okay. This is not happening in black neighborhoods. This is primarily happening in rural areas. Okay. And black neighborhoods, they don't shoot up schools. They shoot up neighborhoods. It's the weirdest thing. You want to shoot up where the fuck you live. I never actually understood that. But regardless of the case, with us having kids that are in high school and they're progressing through mm-hmm. school and these dangers that's consistently happening, you know, we want to just kind of talk about it and talk about some of the things that we're doing to make sure that we're protecting our kids while they're going to school, whether they're walking to school, catching a bus to school, whether they're catching the yellow bus to school that's being provided mm-hmm. by the school, or they just or when they're at school in general, just making sure that their heads is in the right place. So we're going to go over some of these things. So let me just go ahead and just tell you how bad it is that it happened in 2023.
Terrible.
So in 2023, per CNN, there were 77 school shootings as of November 17th, and 27 of those were on college campuses, while the remaining 50 was in K through 12 school grounds. Now, Jeff, help me understand. Like, when you see that and you read those numbers, what does that tell you?
That tell me two things. One, it's too fucking easy to get a gun. Two, I think we need a lot more police protection for our kids, man. If you notice, we had more police protection when we were growing up. Remember Gang Squad?
Yeah.
Remember the Big Foe?
Yeah.
They was always at schools or around schools because they didn't want us fighting and stuff. So
facts.
Now you take Gang Squad away, Big Foe been gone, you got the little two people per car, and school shootings go up, but you haven't put Gang Squad back together yet. My thing is, so are y'all running from the guns, or are y'all running towards the fights? Which one is it?
Well, you know why they got rid of Gang Squad.
I mean, come on, but still.
They wasn't doing right.
They wasn't, but at the same time, it was a lot less fights at school, too.
It definitely was a lot less fights at
school.
They
might have kicked your ass a couple of times, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, okay, let's get something together to where everybody sitting at the table and could agree on this particular group to mandate the schools, man. Why can't we get together and, well, you know what? I did see on TV, it might have been the internet, okay, where these men, I forgot what they were called. Oh man, I wish I could remember what they was called. But they're walking their kids to school, walking other people's kids to school, and they was carrying. There was open carry. And they were making sure the kids would get to school and everything, safe and everything, which was cool. But, you know, when no fathers got to go to work, why can't the police step in? You know what I'm saying? So okay. I put my life in danger, which I have no problem with doing. Mm-hmm. But they're getting paid to do this, and they don't want to come do it.
Well, let's be honest. Either they're doing it because they needed a job, or they're doing it because they're trying to find the bullies that bully them.
That's a good one right there.
You know, or they have this complex that, you know, they're superior to everybody, so that badge gives them that
a little bit more power. Yeah.
But thinking about that and them walking the kids to school and providing that type of protection for them, why is it that the citizens, or why is it that serious for us to have to go to those extremities to make sure that our kids are safe in a place where we pay taxes to pay for protection that we cannot readily get? We pay for protection that comes late. Mm-hmm. We pay for protection that when we get there, we're misjudged.
Mm-hmm.
We are accosted and we are demonized in our own neighborhoods. So us paying taxes for the protection of our kids, I mean, our taxes go to a lot of different places.
Yes,
and our taxes fund a lot of different things, including the police force, including these schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because, and let me go ahead and point this fact out and tell me if I'm wrong. You can tell me if I'm wrong. Inner city schools have low grades, low income families, metal detectors, right? Rent-a-cop, so whatever you want to call them. I ain't gonna call them rent-a-cops. They're people with actual jobs.
Right.
You know, you have security. Okay, you have all this going on in inner city schools, but primarily all of the shootings happen on white campuses. So here's the thing. Even though people can say, "Well, y'all shoot up your own neighborhoods and everything like that," we have never shot up an institution in such a way where it had to make the news.
If they did, it was a gang shooting. It was a gang shooting. Yeah, it was a gang shooting at another gang. I haven't really read or seen to where
I haven't
like,
even.
Oh, this little boy took a gun in Central and just shot the whole school up because, you know, his mama told me he couldn't get a video game. You know what I'm saying?
And I guess there was always a fear that I had because there is a few instances where my son was at school, and you know, it was a gun. Somebody supposedly had brought a gun in. It happened when he was at elementary school. It happened when he was in high school, and the school did not call to say that somebody had brought a gun to the school. And I find out when my son actually gets in the car and says, "Yeah, that, you know, somebody had went ahead and brought a gun to school, and they had went in a lockdown."
Yep.
And I'm just finding out at the end of the day.
Yep.
Now I know they're not trying to cause a rush or a crisis or anything, but I think that is some information that a person should need.
My thing is this. You get emails saying, "Hey, this is the lunch for the week. This is what we gonna do for the week." You don't have one person to say, "Well, this is what's going on in our school today. Somebody bought a gun to school." You can't do that. Just that one. You got one person. You can't do that. So, and then, but that goes back to, again, can we change a generation?
Okay.
I don't think we can, because this generation right here wants money now. They want what they want now. They want to grow up so fast to be adults. They don't know they're missing their childhood now, because they're wishing so much of being grown. How can you wish so much for being grown and enjoy your childhood? You can't.
But you gotta admit, when we were younger, we was in a rush to get older as well. We was in a rush to drive.
I understand, but okay, we was only in a rush when our parents said, "No, you can't do this."
Okay, true.
These kids is in a rush, period. I don't care if you give them the world, they're in a rush to grow the fuck up. Why? I have no idea. Because only thing you got guaranteed waiting on you
is bills.
It's bills. Debt. You know what I'm saying?
All kinds of debt.
That's like, that is guaranteed waiting on you, because I try to show my kids how to put up money, how to save money.
Yeah.
So I gave my kids probably about $400. No, I'm lying. I gave my oldest son 15. I gave my daughter 800, and I gave my 12-year-old, I think he was about 800 too, for Christmas.
Okay.
Last year, maybe about 2 years ago. So I said, they could be good, babe. You know, we ain't got to worry about nothing. They're going to have that money for a minute. They all was broke by January, I'm going to say the 5th, bro. Like, for real. And I told everybody, I said, look, put y'all money up, you know, do this, you know, but save some. My youngest said, I saved $2. I said, what? I say $2, Dad. My daughter, oh, I got $50. You still think that's good in 2 weeks? My oldest, oh, well, I had to get some shoes. I had to do this. So I didn't really say none. So what y'all telling me is...
they got bad money management skills.
Yes. Absolutely 100%.
But...
go ahead. I want to see what you're about to say right here. Let's
be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. No, okay. No judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were they taught financial literacy?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. I started my youngest off. Man, I think he was, I want to say 7 when he first started learning about financial literacy. My daughter, I showed her, because I told him, I said, look, me and mommy look like we doing great. Mm-hmm. Me and mommy are making it.
Okay.
But I want you guys to be doing it.
Okay.
I want you to be better. I don't want you to be having to, oh, I want that purse. I'm going to wait till Friday to buy that purse. I want y'all guys to be like, hey, y'all feel like going to New York? Yeah, let's buy a ticket right now. Let's go. That's how I want my kids.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
And I've been telling them this from since they was little, bro. I don't want y'all to live in check by check. Or, well, if I get paid on the 1st, I guess I wait till the 1st and do something. What's today's date? The 9th?
Pretty much.
You see what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish at the time I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I really wish I could have done it. And I kind of preached this like several times to a lot of different people and even on a podcast. But have you ever thought about taking $1,000 and putting it into the S&P 500?
I thought about that. The only thing about it is my kids don't listen, bro.
No, it's you funding it.
Right. Why would I fund their future a fuck up? No, I'm not doing that.
Hold on. Hear me out.
Hear me out. I understand exactly what you're saying. See, now, my thing is this.
Okay.
If I was, I'm not going to say a billionaire. If I was a multimillionaire, okay?
But you ain't got to be a multimillionaire.
You don't have to be. But if I was.
Okay.
Let's just say if I was.
Okay.
I would do that. I would put their money away. And if they fuck it up, guess what? They fuck it up because guess what? I'm going to still have money to help them. Right now, where we sit, where everything is raising, going higher and
okay.
higher.
Right.
Let's say if I get three of them, put some okay. money in there starting right now.
Okay.
My son fucks his up. My oldest son.
But how you going to fuck it up, though?
By being a young black man.
But he can't access it, though.
He wouldn't be able to access it until he's what, 25?
I mean, you can set it to whatever the access right. you want to.
So we say 25. What is on a 25-year-old mind besides pussy?
Okay,
and
hold on. Let's.
Go ahead.
I mean, pussy is on a mind. But what up? Okay, this is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're 7 years old, okay, mm-hmm. you put money in the S&P 500 and say you contribute like another like $5,000 mm-hmm. to it, like $175 a month, right? Mm-hmm. For like 5 years.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, well, I'll just let that grow. whatever happens at 18, whatever they decide that they want to do, that's their money to do whatever they want to do with it.
Exactly. That's their money.
So if they want to fuck it over, they fuck it over.
And then where the fuck you think they gonna be at and after they fuck it over? Knocking at your door.
No.
Talking about some daddy. shit. I thought it was gonna work, but it didn't work, daddy. So I'm gonna have to come sit back with y'all. No, the fuck you ain't.
Now, well, let me ask this. What would have happened if you could have started with them younger?
I mean, you can't really start with them no younger than I did, man. Because my thing is this. We have this thing called the internet right now.
Right.
And this thing called the internet is really fucking people's minds up. Because for the reason, the internet shows you, hey, you don't have to wait 2 weeks to get paid. You can get paid. You can work today and get paid today. Oh, really? You can? Yeah. You can work today or get paid tomorrow. Okay, no problem. But what the internet is not showing you is how to save that money or how to put up that money. It's telling you how to get it fast and spend it even faster. Oh, we got this new bike out, y'all. Oh, that bike's sweet.
It's telling you instant gratification.
Yes, instant. Where's instant at? Where that motherfucker been all my life?
It used to be at the paycheck. It used to be at the little paycheck advance on the corner.
Man.
And then they charge you interest for the money that you get
so,
early.
So you still come out losing.
But then I think people got their head wrapped around the whole gig economy. Mm-hmm. Cause you can go and you can travel some people around as a taxi for like 2-3 hours and make $50-$75 easy.
Yeah.
And go about your business.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But my thing is this, I don't have time to keep watching my back. I'm a grown black man with a family. From the time I leave my house, I'm watching my back. Police, white man, Hispanic, I don't care who they are. If they looking at you and they want to rob you, they going to come holler at you.
Facts.
So if I put a total stranger in my back seat, I don't know this man. I don't know what he been, I don't know what he just went through with his girl. I don't know if his daughter just told him, I hate you. And his mind is, I'm going to go fuck somebody up. Prime example, young black man got in a car, Uber car. I know you remember this.
Okay.
And he was trying to rob the young lady. She wouldn't give him nothing. Shot her, killed her, older lady, young black guy. I think it was a couple months ago. So my thing is this, why did he do it? Because he needed money. Because he so-called needed money. He wanted money now. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I think I'm just making it easier for them if I'm driving them around. You know what I'm saying?
So I've done the gig economy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did Uber. I ain't do Uber because they didn't let you keep your tips. So I did Lyft, mm-hmm. you know, and I was getting cash tips and everything like that. Now I'm being honest with you. Okay. I was in a shootout
mm-hmm.
doing Lyft. I didn't do the shooting, but I was close to it.
Right.
So what happened is I went and go pick this guy up. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was supposed to be picking a girl up. And I pull up. I'm looking at the picture. I'm looking like, oh, shit, she cute. So I'm like, all right, man. Now I'm somewhere on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was on one of these blocks that didn't have any street lights, no houses. And it was already dark. It was already like 11 o'clock
mm-hmm.
at night or whatever. So I'm looking around. I'm like, man, what the fuck is this person at? So I'm calling the number. And then out of nowhere, somebody runs up to the car. And I'm like, where the fuck this motherfucker come from? Mm-hmm. Like, this motherfucker come out the house. Like, I ain't see shit. So I'm like, you such and such. Now this was my first time experiencing somebody calling a Lyft for somebody else.
Right.
So this is my first time experiencing that. So I ain't never seen this shit.
Right.
So dude get in the car like, yeah, like, my girl ordered this for me. Man, she could have said something, bro. Right. Like, she ain't say shit.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I know it's against Lyft rules, but I always kept the strap on me. Mm-hmm. They ain't know I had it on me, but I kept the strap on me. I don't fuck that.
Right. Hell yeah.
So he was like, well, take me out to East Point. So like right on the edge of 8 Mile. Right. I forgot what the other street was. We were right there on the edge of 8 Mile. Mm-hmm. And I pull up. It's a whole bunch of people outside and shit. Like, hey man, I'm about to run in here real quick. And then I'm about to come out, man. Keep it running. I'm gonna let some shit, it's charging. It's your money, man. I don't give a fuck. But right. But the girl ordered for him, so she the one paying for it. So clearly he don't give a fuck because it's her money.
Right.
So I'm sitting out front. So I make a phone call. So I'm on the phone or whatever, talking. And next thing I know, pop, 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 pop. Mm. What the fuck? Right. Cancel the motherfucker order, bro. I was like, what the f-? But never again, bro. Like,
see, that's my thing, man. We already put ourselves in harm's way every day as far as getting up, going outside, and trying to get to the money to feed our family, trying to do the right thing.
Trying to do the right thing.
When there's so many other people out here doing the wrong thing. So you want me to go through this valley of motherfuckers that's trying to rob me, looking at me all funny, to get to my job, work hard, do my 8 to 10 hours there, then get off there and go Uber and get into the jungle even deeper?
Yeah. Yeah. But then, but like, I know somebody right now that's like, yeah, I'm about to go do like 4 or 5 hours and Uber and so on. I'm like, dog, like I can't imagine going back out there doing that, because I already know that the kind of money that you getting, and it's not what they advertising.
And see, that's the older crowd. That's not the younger crowd anymore. The younger crowd is, I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, I'm on YouTube. I'm trying to make this money sitting at home, making however many videos a day. And that's how I make my money. Fast money. That's like the new drug dealer right there. Them are like the new drug dealers.
Yeah.
But my thing is this. Where do you get your social skills from? Talking to yourself?
Yeah. The social aspect has changed.
Yeah.
The social aspect has changed. Like, it's more playing video games online. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even, like, some people don't even talk through text no more. Like, I'm looking at my son. He be texting everybody through Instagram. I'm like, son, bro, you don't text nobody. He texts me over the phone, but he texts anybody else over Instagram. And I'm like,
I think that's another reason why we can't change a generation, because we're so used to, as they say, old school now. We old school, Drew. Yeah. We old school. So we, as far as texting, calling on the phone, sitting chilling like this, just in a normal setting.
Yeah.
They don't do that, bro. What they do, they get on a video game.
And you know, speaking of that, you know, I had invited my son to come out and go to my mom's house, you know, so he can go pick up some plates from over there. And, you know, I was like, hey, you want to come over there? He's like, when you going? I said, I'm going now. He's like, well, I'm the last survivor in the game. So, you know, I can't leave my friends here. Like, you can't leave them. Like, they must be weak as hell. He's like, no, dad, they're not weak. You know, they just died. I'm the last survivor, so I got to stay alive for them. What? You ain't got to bring your ass so he go here and get this goddamn food. What the fuck is you doing?
It's something different, bro, because, like we say, the school shootings, the generation wanting now, I can't see how this generation can get better.
Well, speaking about the school shootings, no, just jumping back to that. Like, if we talk about like the rural areas and everything, and mm-hmm. you know they have their guns, and you know they have few and many, because mm-hmm. they have the room and the area to go and pretty much shoot however or wherever they want to.
Right.
Because when you have all that land,
you can shoot wherever you want to.
You can shoot wherever you want to. Like,
facts.
It don't even matter. I can't go shoot in my backyard. Police be on my ass quick than a motherfucker.
One shot, you dead down here, for real.
For real. But if you got 4, 5, 6, 10 acres of land,
mm-hmm.
it ain't going to make no damn difference if you in your backyard letting a few shots off.
Right.
It ain't gonna be that big of a difference.
I agree.
So now my question is that when you think about the school shootings and you think about, you know, gun safety, obviously there are people out there that have all these guns with these kids but not practicing gun safety. Do you think that would make the difference in school shootings?
No, I don't. Because if you look at it, gun safety is basically showing you not to shoot yourself while cleaning the gun, while handling a firearm, period.
Right.
Gun safety is not showing you mental wellness. See
okay.
what I'm saying?
All right.
So my thing is to stop the shootings in schools, I think we will have to have counselors, not just one counselor per 700 some kids.
Yeah.
I'm talking 5 or 6 counselors at a time at a school. And that way, if something wrong with a kid, hey, go talk to this counselor, man. You know what I'm saying? If it's something wrong inside the house, go talk to this counselor. I think counseling should be free. I don't think it should be had to be paid for, because now you're dealing with the mental capacity of a 13, 14, 15-year-old kid. How are you going to figure out what's wrong with him when he don't even know himself to know something is really wrong with him?
You know, you're really talking about a good concept there. And the reason why I say you talk about a good concept is if you really think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about having a counselor there that's going to be proactive,
mm-hmm.
and not reactive.
Exactly.
So what if it looked like this? What if in their, so if we talk about elementary school, so say you start off at third grade,
mm-hmm.
right? And they have a 15-30 minute counselor session,
mm-hmm.
just to come in, hey, how is school going? How is class going? How is, you know, stuff at home and everything? I mean, you have social workers there,
mm-hmm.
so if something occurs, they can go ahead and report it.
Right.
But you don't have social workers there to be proactive, to sit there and have a conversation.
Nope.
To say, hey, are you doing okay? You know, is there anything that you want to talk about? But you wait till you see a bruise. You
mm-hmm.
wait for them to act out.
Yeah.
You wait for, you know, you to see the mother to be looking or doing something unseemly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to sit there and question the child because now you feel like the child is in danger. But maybe you can go ahead and be a little bit more proactive in the situation. And some of these shootings will stop. You know, maybe you can get some of these kids to kind of maybe not bully other kids.
Facts.
You know, because think about it, you know, why are some of these kids bullying other kids? Is because they're being bullied at home. Now, I don't think no kid comes out of the house and say, I'm about to go and bully other kids just because I want to.
Nah, it's they getting bullied at home. Either they're getting bullied at home, they're getting touched at home,
okay.
or yeah. it could be somebody in their family bullying them and they don't want to talk to their parents. If we can get that one saying out of the black community house, we would be great. What do I need to go talk to somebody for? I don't need to talk to nobody. You need to talk to somebody.
But, and also with that, one of the things that, and if we talk about a generation, you know, I think that some people in our generation have been passing down self-hate
Most definitely. So long.
Whether you're dark skin, light skin, whether you got messed
long
up
hair,
teeth,
short hair,
too big of a nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we pass down that self-hate time and time again, and we don't correct it. You know, I know you remember the video that I had sent where the guy was talking to the rice.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep. you know, he said thank you to one rice. He said something mean to the other rice. And then completely ignored one beaker of rice.
Mm-hmm.
The beaker of rice that got ignored, that one rotted.
Mm-hmm.
Mold and stuff started to build up. The one that he had talked negative to, that one turned black. I don't even know what the hell happened with that shit.
Straight black.
Like, that shit was straight black.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one piece of rice ended up fermenting.
Mm-hmm.
And that lets you know that words have such a heavy impact.
Mm-hmm.
On any and everybody. Like, even when you talk negative to yourself, it has such a tremendous impact.
Hell yeah.
So when you're talking to your kids and you're not talking to them in a positive light, whether it's jokingly or not, I heard this one phrase that said, talking about yourself, whether it's positive or negative, even if you're joking, even if you're talking to yourself negatively, even if you're joking, your body cannot tell the difference.
No, it can't.
So you're talking negative to yourself, mm-hmm. and just further damning and harming yourself over and over and over and over again. Regardless of what you can say, yeah, you know, I'm a fat piece of shit. mm-hmm. But your body don't understand. And what does it do? It's, oh,
I'm a fat piece of shit. I'm going to be a fat piece of shit.
I'm going to make it a fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
So maybe if we stop passing down this idea of self-hate and verbal abuse.
But
you know,
how do we stop it if we don't want to do the work to go get the help?
It's a lot of barriers that get put in place, right? So
yeah, but you gotta be willing to do the work. You can't say I want a job and sit in front of the video game and think a job go knock on your door and be like, yo, hey, we making $10 an hour. You want to come do this? No, you gotta get the fuck up off that chair, walk outside, look around.
Facts.
So if we don't know how to break that mold, or we don't know how to break that ban from around us to say we don't need nobody else in our household telling us what to do, then our generations are going to keep getting worse, because not only are we putting our demons on our kids,
yeah,
now they're growing up with our demons and they're pulling other demons in with them.
Facts.
So our demons, our old demons, with their new demons, is not good at all. That's where all the shooting is coming from. Because now the kids are trying to figure out, why am I so fucking mad?
And speaking of that, and I kind of want to just throw some more statistics out there just so people mm-hmm. get an idea of what was happening a little bit after our generation. You know, because I came out of high school in 2004. Mm-hmm. So,
facts.
And like I said, I didn't see gun shootings out there.
97.
So if we just look at annual school shootings by the year. So okay. The graph that I have in front of me, again, this comes from CNET. This comes from CNN. And if you look at 2008, there was only 18 shootings that year.
Mm-hmm.
18 shootings a year. And if we jump forward to 2022, it was 79 shootings in 1 year. And I think I remember all those shootings, because some of them shootings kept coming up on the news because they kept getting worse, worse, and worse. And then 2021, you had 73. 2020, you had 22.
Man.
2019, you had like, what, 50, 58, 59. 2018, you had 44. So you can see that the numbers didn't really breach like 50 until like 2019, and then we was in a pandemic in 2020.
So it dropped down to 22.
So it dropped down to 22. And then 2021, shut up, 2022, man. And 2023, it damn near doubled, tripled.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if we're talking about the lowest, was 18, 22, 13, 15, mm-hmm. 13, 26, and 36 from 2008 to 2014. And then we jump all the way up to after the pandemic, we talking about 73, 79, and 77.
Mm-mm-mm.
You gotta admit that the pandemic has created a level of insociability
mm-hmm.
and mental crisis that we have yet to address.
Well, once again, how can we address something that we don't know that's there? Even though we see it, but we don't know what to do about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the old school not gonna listen to us and say, well, maybe he right. Maybe we need to go talk to somebody. Maybe we need to go take our fucking 13, 14 year old and go talk to somebody, because only thing she do is go in her room, be in her room all day, go to school, be in her room. That's not a normal fucking 13, 14 year old.
No.
13, 14 year old in your face, playing, joking, whatever. Y'all need to how these babies looked at. If you want them to succeed, it's like a plant. It's like a seed. When you put the seed in the dirt and you start watering it,
mm-hmm.
it's, and put it in front of the sunlight, oh, it's gonna blossom. It's gonna be right. beautiful.
Facts.
But if you take the seed and sit it on top of the dirt and pour beer on top of it, what is it gonna do?
Get drunk.
it's not gonna be that beautiful plant that you seen on the package.
Not at all.
We need so much to change in order for our generation to change.
Man,
it start with the old heads, man. We gotta stop saying, I'm not gonna take you to talk to nobody. You go talk to me. If they feel comfortable with talking to somebody, like you said, let's put them in the classroom for 15 to 30 minutes talking to a psychologist or talking to a counselor.
Yeah.
Because now the counselor is giving them tools to deal with stuff. And they coming home dealing with it, you go try to figure out, well, how did he know that?
Yeah.
Now you go to the school and see this is what's happening. Maybe now you might think, maybe we need to talk to a counselor.
Facts.
Because it's helping him. Maybe it might help with my demons.
Facts.
Because I'm putting a lot of demons off on my 9-10-year-old that shouldn't have to deal with my demons.
True.
So let's go to counseling. Maybe I was wrong. I'm man enough to say I was wrong. But what if you're not man enough to say you was wrong? You willing to gamble and fuck your whole family life up just because you don't want to go talk to a person that got a piece of paper on his wall that say, oh, you think you better than me? No, it's not what he's saying. It's saying that he went to school and he's using tools that you don't know about.
Right. Something that, because if we look at it, if you go to a school way out in the suburbs,
mm-hmm.
they got way more tools,
mm-hmm.
but they definitely have more shootings.
Yes.
You go to a school in inner city, you're going to see the graffiti. You're going to see all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll even say this, and tell me if I'm wrong. You see the graffiti, you see all that. I would say that you're looking at untapped potential.
Facts, 100%.
You go out there and you see that they don't have an art class, but they see a canvas.
Mm-hmm.
You see that they don't have an opportunity, but they don't have the love at home, so they create their own family, and they go and they sell drugs because mm-hmm. they see that there's opportunity there. They see that it's kind of funny because that same person that probably got a D or F in math know how to weigh up a scale and tell you how much it's going to do for this, man. And how much you're going to get from that. So it's not that they didn't have the opportunity to learn. It's the fact that they didn't have the resources, nor did they have the people or the care at home to mm-hmm. able to push them in the right direction so they would be able to go ahead and make something of themselves and apply the actual mentality to go ahead and move forward. But yet you have all the tools and the resources in the white neighborhoods that have mm-hmm. these campuses, and they have all this stuff that they have to be able to have them succeed. And yet you have them, as soon as they see some hint of poverty because the stock market crashed or they lose their job, they about to kill themselves, they commit mm-hmm. suicide, or they get bullied at school and they can't take the toughness, so they don't go and fight. So the only thing they think of that they can go and do is go and kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this rage that they embedded in themselves because they don't get treated as kids. You know, they talk to them and treat them as if they're fucking pets.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do what I say. You know, you're going to do football. You're going to do piano. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. So when I look at these numbers, I already know that these are not numbers for an urban area.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't even say that these numbers for a sub-rural area. Now, so far as killing on campuses, I mean, that can be... The fact that some campuses are having school shootings is not even mind-boggling, but I didn't really hear about it until after the pandemic. I didn't really hear about university shootings prior to the pandemic.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, I probably heard maybe one, maybe two, but my thing is, if you really look at it, that's that same kid that's been building up, because he's been building up to shoot his high school up. I couldn't build enough courage up, so damn, I'm out of high school now. Now I'm in college. All the same shit. Now I'm older. I know better now. I can do this and get away with it. My thing is this. If you look at the families, black, white, urban, whatever, it's total difference. You got the white people that's got the money to send their kids to the best schools or whatever.
Yeah.
But they don't show their kids no love. They don't talk to their kids.
Facts.
They don't really deal with their kids. Hey, how you doing? Gone, bye. Boom. That's it.
Yeah.
Why are they white kids shooting up the schools? Because their parent didn't give him something that he wanted. Why is he like that? Because every time he asked for it, that's how you show love. You bought him things.
Right.
So he's thinking, this is how you show me love, and you not giving it to me, you don't love me no more. So I'm going to show you I can fuck some shit up, and maybe you'll pay me some attention.
And also, they don't see the signs.
No. How can they see the signs they don't see their kids?
So I want to reference the Jewel documentary on Netflix. Okay. So I want to reference that, and we did a podcast with that a little while ago. And one of the things in there that always kind of caught my attention was this parent that decided to start this nonprofit foundation because these kids were getting sick because they were getting addicted to e-cigarettes. You know, e-cigarettes mm-hmm. were the big boom before the pandemic.
Yeah.
So they started getting infected by they started getting hospitalized with e-cigarettes and everything. And his parent went out and started her own little nonprofit organization to go against this company, just like MAD and, you know, all that stuff like that. Right. They want to change laws to benefit them. Now, this was a white lady and everything. And when you look at it, it's kind of like, how did you not know that your son was smoking? You can say that it was easy to conceal within your hand, but I can tell you this right now. If I see my son put some up, do like this, and move his hand back, I'm going to see some kind of smoke. Even if he inhales it or whatever.
Not with the e-cigarettes. With the e-cigarettes.
It's still a little bit of smoke, though.
No, it's like vape. It's like vape.
But it's smoke, though.
No, if you see it, that's only because you're looking for it and you know what it is. You see what I'm saying? If you're one of those parents that sees your kid, but sees through your kid, not really looking at your kid, you're not gonna see it. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I'm always looking for my son to be doing some shit.
I mean, that's you being a good father.
because and the reason why I say that is because me and you understand that we did fuck shit when we were kids,
and I'm gonna pay attention to my boys.
So I know I did fuck shit.
But we got these people out here that think their kids are angels. That's not gonna do some of the shit that Johnny or Jimmy go do.
Facts.
So
I agree with that.
So when they don't think that, they're not looking for no e-cigarette.
So they're
not looking for no weed.
So you're telling me that these motherfuckers actually believe that they kid? Well, I mean, I've seen it and I've heard it, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you did fuck shit when you were a kid. You wasn't an angel as a kid. You can't expect your child to be an angel knowing that you wasn't either. It's almost like the Peter Pan shit. You become a goddamn adult, and then your ass forget that you went to Never Never Land.
Like, I'm gonna tell you like this here: they forget they was in Never Never Land because it's mothers, and it's a couple of. I'm not gonna say a couple of fathers. It's a lot of fathers that put their kids in football. Oh, my boy, he don't drink, he don't smoke, and he be the biggest alcoholic on the team. Oh, my kid don't smoke. He think it's gonna mess up his future. Be the biggest weed head on the team.
Facts.
And how they don't know this? Because they're so wrapped up in living through their kids, because this is what they wanted to do. They're not seeing their kid. They're seeing through their kid. I see a future in you. You going to the NFL, boy. Or you and if they do catch it, do the team know? No, the team don't know. Well, we go take this away and we go get you together so the team will never find out. And guess what happened? They don't get put on punishment. They don't get no repercussions. So they grow up saying, I can do this shit and get away with it.
But that's in the same token, that's kind of like, if you think about it, in the same token, it's kind of like when, you know, your kid is the star basketball player or star football player, but they bad at school. Mm-hmm. They grades are plummeting.
Guess what I'm doing?
What's that?
Snatching his ass right off that team. Sit your ass on this bench that's called a classroom.
And there's some parents that don't want to do that because they think that this kid is going to go to the NFL, to the NBA. You know, they're going to be that star. So with some grades where, like, my son is helping you win championships in high school or taking you to the championship in high school or getting you wins in high school, and you want to bench him because, what, he got a D in? He got a D in one class?
You're goddamn right.
See?
If I'm the coach...
You about to have all the parents about to cuss you out.
They could be mad than a motherfucker at me. They could cuss me out. They could throw ice and stuff at me. Because my thing is this. Your son is doing great on the court.
Right.
But he's fucked up in life. How is that helping him?
Facts.
I can't keep him on the court because he's winning me basketball games. Basketball games ain't shit. The next 30 people that come through that school gonna be winning them basketball games.
Facts.
If I'm a coach, I'm here to change a player's life. So if you scoring, let's say we got five starters, we got five bench people,
right,
and two extra people. That's 12 people. If I got three guys on my team, all of them scoring 30 points a game, blowing teams out. I could put my whole bench in and I got two other players scoring 20, another player scoring 15. Mm-hmm. Y'all dudes, y'all balling.
Right.
If I go to my starters, the guys that's scoring 30 points a game, mm-hmm. if I go to their classroom and they got D's and F's, what am I showing them if I let them play? You can fuck over life. Just make sure you play the game the right way. Fuck that.
And think about that. Would you say that creates certain downfalls for certain players that go to the NBA and jack all their money up?
What?
Or is it a contribution of, I'll play it like this. Is that a primary factor? Or is it the rag to riches syndrome? Or is it the financial literacy? Or is it a combination of all?
It's definitely a combination of it all. But the main factor is letting them get terrible grades and keeping them on the court. Because if you getting terrible grades and you still on the court, that's just telling you, all I gotta do is play basketball good and I got a golden ticket. Mm-hmm. That's bullshit.
They probably should raise it. I don't know if they raise the GPA. They should probably raise it to like a 3.0.
I mean,
or at least a 2.8.
They should do something because, excuse me, but let's say they make it to the, let's say them three players make it straight to the NBA. Boom.
All right.
They didn't have D's and C's all they fucking life.
Can't read a contract.
Can't write, can't do, no financial literacy, no nothing. And two of them get hurt. Career ending. Where do they fall? Now they're back in the hood with money, with a little bit of money.
So let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to call or talk about nobody.
Oh yeah, you are. But go ahead.
Don't nobody come after MNG. Don't nobody come after MNG. What does that say for Mayweather?
Oh.
And it's been proven that he cannot read. Not saying that he's uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, you know, boxing has a tremendous effect on a person.
Most definitely.
But if you look at some of the greats, they're not as illiterate as Mayweather.
No, but they also ain't as paid as Mayweather as well. Now see, Mayweather was smart and went into a sport to where he can really do everything himself by looking. Now you can show me a contract, but if I get a lawyer that don't know how to read, and I pay him very well, he's going to make sure that contract say what the fuck I tell him to make it say. Mm-hmm. Regardless of if I can't read it or not.
So he can see what numbers are.
He can see what numbers are.
He can see where our numbers are.
But then again, you got to remember, a lot of people can't read contracts because of the language that's in the contract.
That is true.
So if I tell you, cuz I can't read this, you're going to think I can't read it because of the terms that it's wrote in. Mm-hmm. Not that I can't read the words itself.
Right.
So now Mayweather is at a point to where, do he really need a motherfucker to read for him? No, some bitch is rich as shit.
True.
But what is he telling his kids? You can not read and make it through life, son. Just go be a boxer.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what we talked about instant gratification, mm-hmm. the YouTube, the mm-hmm. the TikTok, and the Instagram, the Facebook, and you creating all that stuff. Basically, what's being said is that if you go into entertainment, you don't need an education to go into entertainment. You can just go.
You could just go. I mean, a lot of them don't have an education for real.
I'm not gonna say it, because I don't know. I honestly don't know his background. I know he's funny, but I don't know his background. I don't know what he's been through. I don't know anything. But I was gonna say DC Young Fly, but you know, I know he came up off of doing
the
internet
Vine and all that shit.
Yeah, doing the internet shit and stuff like that.
Right.
But I don't know his education level. I don't know anything.
Right.
But just talking about being up and coming off of the internet, you know, they have found singers off the internet. Mm-hmm. No, they didn't find all that stuff.
Right.
It's still a level of entertainment.
Facts.
to get you somewhere mm-hmm. where, because you got to think about it, you can go and be an actor. You don't need an actor degree.
Nah.
You don't need to go to school for acting.
Mm-mm.
But you could be a great actor.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You could be a great writer.
Yeah.
And not go to school. JID even said it himself. Education wasn't good for him, but shit, he can spit like a motherfucker.
I mean, shit, look at LeBron's best friend,
Maverick.
Yeah, dude, he's number one agent in the NBA now, bro.
Yeah,
number one, and didn't go to school for the shit, bro.
See, so it kind of, you know, they always say, you know, right opportunity, right time.
Yeah,
it's all about timing. It's all about your opportunity. You know, did he ride the coattails of LeBron? Yeah, but did he make a way for himself outside of LeBron? Definitely.
That's the difference.
Definitely. I would credit him that.
Facts.
And say he made a path for himself,
yeah,
outside of LeBron.
But somebody gotta be that 18 wheeler pushing everything out the way. That was LeBron. LeBron True. Said, "Yo, we grew up together. Come on, hop on. All right, now I need you to go down that avenue and build that avenue up. Mm-hmm. I need you to go down that avenue and build that avenue up.
Yeah.
I need you to go down that avenue." He sent his people to build up avenues to where now his people families are just as good as his family.
Yeah.
Now tell me, now I hate to throw this out there, you know, because
okay.
you know how I am.
Well, throw it.
They say Michael Jordan is the best player ever.
Okay.
He's the greatest. Michael Jordan is the shit.
All right.
And I cannot deny that Michael Jordan is the man on the basketball court. But LeBron is the greatest player to ever put shoes on. Reason being, not only did LeBron come into the NBA from high school balling.
Okay.
He brought other people with him.
Okay.
He helped other people, families.
Okay. I give you that. I give you that.
Last I heard, Jordan, you was putting money into jail cells. To that credit,
not the jail cells, not the jail cells credit, but to that credit, what I will say is that they came out of two different generations.
Most definitely.
So if we look at, let's just put it out there. If we look at the 80s and 90s, okay, and we look at the epidemic, especially the crack epidemic and everything like that, you know. And then
Jordan didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing around there.
But I also believe that, you know, Jordan had to find his way. But his family, kind of, you know, looking at the little movie and everything like that, you know, his mom, his dad, kind of did the little Nike deal and stuff like that, and kind of made him whatever the Nike. You know,
guru and shit.
I was about to say God, Nike guru and shit. Right. Motherfuckers can't die with it. Motherfuckers are dying with some goddamn Nikes. Motherfucking Jordans and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But in that instance, I'll credit LeBron because, you know, even if, you know, Michael Jordan was to talk about his childhood, whatever, I don't think that there was childhood friends that he went with when he went into college. Then out of college, they all went. He decided, like, well, I'm gonna just take these motherfuckers with me and shit. Like,
I mean, did you hear what the people were saying about Jordan? He's an asshole.
I mean, but who in the NBA wasn't an asshole though at that time?
I mean, you're right. You're absolutely correct.
I don't think at the time the NBA was still finding some kind of regulation within themselves.
Yeah,
and you had. Let's think about it. During that time, no, you still had a level of prejudice when it came to black and white.
Most definitely.
Okay. And
but that man didn't want to step on no white shoes
that could
take him and say, oh no,
facts.
Brother, we don't need you no more, little fella.
I'm not gonna disagree with that. I'm not trying to defend I'm just trying to put logic to the situation that I think every player that went into the NBA during that time was loners and didn't bring anybody else with them.
No, I'm gonna tell you who tried to do it, but they wasn't making enough money to do it.
Who?
Your boy Iverson. He was trying to do it. That boy, man, was bringing 50 people to a damn game almost. he tried to do it. He just couldn't figure out how to work the NBA.
That's true.
That's the only thing about it.
So I would say back then it was more of a owner. Like I'll compare it to the real estate market.
Mm-hmm.
You have a buyer's market,
mm-hmm.
you have a seller's market.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with the NBA, you have an owner season mm-hmm. and then you have a player season. I think then it was an owner season.
I think yeah.
It was an owner definitely. Season. So most you definitely. so you couldn't you didn't see black owners. You couldn't even see them at a seat at the table.
That's a fact.
You couldn't see them at a seat at the table. It took Michael Jordan a long time. And they still only let you get a piece. You don't even get full ownership.
I was about to say he got a piece. He didn't get full ownership.
You only get it, even now. You still only get a piece. You don't get full ownership.
Yeah.
To see that you get full ownership, it's crazy.
Yeah.
To get full ownership, yeah. You know, even LeBron and Shaq is talking about going in to get a team out in Las Vegas. But think about how much money they're gonna have to pull together. To get that done, because it's not gonna come cheap. We talking about billionaires.
In Vegas too.
You talking about billionaires,
man.
Buying teams.
Yeah.
Billionaires buying teams.
And
so if you a millionaire,
the worst city. You talking about the worst city too? I mean, Vegas. They go.
What are you gonna get a football team?
No, I'm talking about as far as like trying to get a black man on anything.
Oh,
there.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's
definitely.
What I'm talking about.
Definitely.
You're talking about a city that generates money when they're asleep.
Definitely.
So yeah, that's gonna be pretty hard. But my thing is this. So let's say this.
Okay.
To change the generation, we would need counseling. We would need a better gun control in the household.
Mm.
Not Congress and them stupid motherfuckers up there. No. Okay. I'm talking about in a household.
Okay.
I think it should be harder for these little motherfuckers to get guns than to walk on the street and just buy a gun. You know what I'm saying? In order for us to change this, we would have to figure a way to get through our demons to talk to our kids about their little demons while they're little demons instead of big full grown demons.
Okay. I can agree with that.
So if we can find a way to do that, I think we could change the generation for the better. But I don't think the generation want to be changed. I think the generation like it like they are. I want this right now. I want this as is.
You know, I'm kind of riding with the millennials. Well, I am a millennial, but I'm kind of riding the coattail of the younger millennials. You know, I'm like on a, I'm in the middle right there, but I like the younger millennials. And some of them Gen Zers, they like, look, I don't want the regular 9-to-5. Like, I'm like, you know what? Why are we working so hard, goddammit? You know, I want a better work-life balance, goddammit. Like, that's what I want. I want to make the big bucks and have a work-life balance and shit. But
is it possible?
I believe it is possible.
It's all right.
I believe it is possible.
I mean, it probably can happen, but how hard are you going to have to work for it, and how much longer?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna let the younger generation
figure it out.
That way, I can just ride on the coattail. I can ride on the coattail.
I'm going down this avenue. I got y'all.
I'm gonna fuck with y'all, man. I ain't gonna be at the marches, but I'm gonna support you. Sitting at home, I'm gonna watch it on Facebook.
I totally understand. I totally feel you, man.
So. No, wrapping everything up and, you know, just looking at the school shootings and looking at being proactive and looking at how we change a generation. You know, I know you kind of gave me a little bit of that, you know, just a few seconds ago, but go ahead and bring it full circle on, you know, just some proactivity and some strategies to kind of move forward with trying to change a generation and how we can reduce some of these school shootings.
Well, like I said, to reduce the school shootings, 9 times out of 10, the kids are getting their guns from their home. So I think better placement of your gun.
Right.
If you go put your gun somewhere, I'm saying make sure you check it every time your kid leave.
Yeah.
If it's somewhere out, check it every time your kid leave. If it's not there, you know, go straight to the school. Changing the generation, we have to get rid of the old black mentality of nobody can come in my house and tell me what to do. Nobody can tell me how to raise my kids. I know how to raise my kids. We understand you know how to raise your kids,
right?
Can you do it mentally? That's the thing. So I think we need more counseling or counselors in school. I think instead of sending the police out to the households to do welfare checks, send counselors out to do mental checks. I mean, you can have the police there just in case they get a little crazy.
Yeah, because facts.
Mental.
You facts.
Know? Shoot. Let's show these kids love, man. I guarantee you there's not 20 kids that get hugged and say, I love you at the age 15, 16, 17. Man, young black males by their father. I can guarantee you that.
Okay. I can believe that.
Yeah, it's crazy. If we just open our minds up to a better future, a better mental future, I think we'd be better off with this younger generation trying to help them to get help. Because this younger generation, I'm not gonna say they're confused, they just don't know what they want, who they want, what they are, how they are.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that's a mental thing. What I'm saying is, if we start with them young, maybe they can figure that out by the time they get 18, 19, and they're not feeling some type of way to where they got to go shoot up a school. You see okay. what I'm saying? Or this girl says something and I ain't liking and going to kill her, because now you already got the confidence of, I don't give a fuck what she say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I think we all, we need that village once again. We need that village.
Okay.
And if you don't trust the village, then it won't work.
Okay. Okay.
That's it.
I mean, damn, that was solid. That was solid. So I agree with you. You know, I feel like, and that's one thing I was going to say is that, yes, that village, I think we lost that village. No, when parents start to say, no, you can't talk to my kid, no, you cannot discipline my kid, you lost that extra aspect that that kid can gain. You lost that extra point of view that you may be missing. You know, you lost that support system that you could have because you think you could just go ahead and do it yourself, but not realizing that your singular point of view is not the same as a multifaceted point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather my mom say something to my son, my dad say something to my son, you know, and whoever else, you know, mental figure that he may have will go ahead and sit down and say, hey, you know, hey, that wasn't right. Then my mom come in and say, you know what? No, that wasn't right. Then my dad come in and say, well, why would you do that? You know, that wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's getting different aspects and everybody's getting a bite of the apple to say, okay, no, that's not right. Like, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to go and face. I can tell him one aspect of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Based on my experience, but then my mom, she gets 60 years of experience. My dad, he gets 60 years of experience. Here I come with only 40 years of experience.
Right.
You know, all of us combined, you know, he's getting a good wealth of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so essential when you had older grandparents.
Yep.
Because they had 80 years of experience. Mm-hmm. And they didn't, at that point, they didn't give a fuck what they said to you. They said however they felt they would, that you was gonna understand. And if you said some crazy shit, they probably was gonna pop you at the same damn time.
Facts.
So we definitely need that village. So far as the guns, yeah, they are getting the guns from school. What they need to do is, yes, they do need to check and see if their gun is there. But also, you don't need all your guns accessible.
Facts.
So if you do have a safe in the house, you know, all your guns need to be in safe except for one.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on where that gun is actually at, the kid don't need to know that it's there.
Facts.
And if they do think that it's there, matter of fact, when you're not at home, you need to unload the clip. And put the clip up and leave the gun out. Then when you go home, take the gun. I mean, just think about the routines that we already have. Come home, take your shoes off, get something to eat, watch TV. Mm-hmm. Or come in, take your shoes off, get something to eat, wash clothes. Why you can't come home, take your shoes off, load your gun up, put it for where you want it at in case somebody break in, and then go from there. Like, put yourself in a routine to protect your son and to protect your child and protect you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people want to put themselves in a routine. They have these safes or they have the area where they had their guns at, but they are accessible. Now, here's the thing. I take my son to school every day. I know where the fuck my guns are at. Mm-hmm. So if he decided he wanted to take one, you got to go through me to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if I was, if he got it, like, after I left out the house or something like that, he's gonna look nervous. Like, he's gonna do something he ain't did in the morning time.
Right.
So I'm gonna be looking at his ass like, fuck is you nervous for? Like, I'm good. You sure? Motherfucker, something ain't right. I think the only way we can go ahead and curb these school shootings is if we definitely understand that there is something mentally wrong with these kids in the post-pandemic area. And the more that we keep ignoring it, the worse it's gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
And the more exuberant, just the more this freight train is going to leave the station and crash.
Mm-hmm.
It's 77 this year. How many is going to be? I mean, it's 77 in 2023. How many is going to be in 2024? You know, like, are we gonna hit 80? Mm-hmm. Are we gonna hit 100? Like, when is enough gonna be enough? I mean, even if you try to say, Congress, can we go ahead and do gun control? how much gun control can you do when people already got the guns? How much gun control can you do when people are already set that they have the right to bear arms? Mm-hmm. You can't give everybody a mental wellness check and say, well, you got to go to a therapist before you go ahead and get a gun. Motherfucker, I can know a friend that's a therapist that can sign off on it for me.
That's a fact.
Everybody has those connects. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I digress. But there are ways that we can go ahead and remedy this and put strategies in place in order to protect ourselves. But again, as we always say, it starts at home. It starts at home. So this is Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy. I am your host, M&G. I got Jeff No Chaser here, still talking that shit. Make sure you go ahead and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Farewell M&G. Make sure you go ahead and hit us up on Spotify. Do a like, a share. Make sure you tell your peoples about it, because we got some good shit coming down the line. And we'll see you on the next recording. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on this unfiltered journey with Farewell Mr. Nice Guy. We hope today's conversation brought you fresh insights and a renewed embrace of authenticity. To keep the canon vibes flowing, hit the subscribe button for more thought-provoking episodes and share the podcast with your friends. As we wrap up, keep embracing your true self, navigating life's twists, and making connections truly count. Until next time, remember that your journey to authenticity and growth is one to cherish.